Thanks for listening to audio from North Monroe. To learn more about who we are, visit northmonroe.com or download the North Monroe app in the App Store or on Google Play. Now, here's this week's message.
Thank you, Richard. Great music today. I love that song. It is well with my soul. You may know the story about that, but Blake and I were back before the service, and I said, Blake, why did you pick that song? He said, well, it matches the key of the other song. And I said, do you know, that's a musician for you. I said, do you know that fits in right with what I was going to talk about today? Horatio Stafford was a very successful businessman in Chicago. And the great fire swept through that city, and he lost a lot of real estate. And so he was planning a trip to England with his family, and he sent his wife and kids on ahead of him. He said, I will stay and take care of business. And as his wife and children traveled to England across the Atlantic, the ship sank. And Horatio's wife survived, his children perished. And he got the telegram that said, all are lost but myself, something like that. And so he made a trip to England. And he asked the captain of that ship, he said, when we get to that particular spot where my children perish, would you let me know? And the knock came one night at the door, and the captain of the ship said, we're at that spot. And he went out, and he wrote those words, it is well with my soul. Now, you know, that is a man of great faith. And let me tell you, and during these days, I don't know how y'all have dealt with everything, but when we as a staff sat down and we talked about closing the office, closing church, I didn't like that. I mean, I agreed with it, but I didn't like it. And I told Pastor Bill, I said, Pastor, I know everybody's going to stay home, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to come up to the office every day. I got to check the mail to make sure people are sending their checks in, okay? That's me. But I said, let me get the mail, let me answer the phone, let me just be here each day. And I got to tell you, the first couple of days I sat out in that corner because I keep my eye on the door for the postman, it was pretty tough. In fact, I didn't know how to turn on the lights in the commons, and I finally asked Blake, is there some lights in here? But I got to tell you, I sat there several days thinking, this is the pits. This was difficult. And we look over the last couple of months, and now we've got the riots and the protesters. We got an election in November. Have we ever seen our country so divided? It is tough. But today I want to talk about how do we have peace and how do we have freedom in days like today. So I'm going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 2 if you want to turn there, but I want to give us another verse before I really get started on that. You know, in John chapter 8, Jesus is speaking to the Jews who believe in him, and he said this in verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you skip up to the verse above it, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Here's the key for us. Guys, we have to be in God's word. We can't go through the motions of being here on Sunday or watching online and maybe doing a quick little devotional every morning and thinking that's it. No, we've got to know Jesus. If you go to verse 36, the Son also makes us free. Look what it says there. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I love this country. I love the fact that I live in a free society so far. My grandparents immigrated to this country from Switzerland, met in this country, married. I'm just a generation out from immigrants. It's an important country to me. But you know what? This country isn't what makes me free. It's Jesus Christ, and we must never, ever forget that. So how do we gain peace and freedom in these days? Well, it's through Jesus Christ. But look at what Paul said to Timothy. Now realize, Timothy is a young man in the ministry. Paul is probably close to 70 years old. He's writing Timothy a letter. And in the first chapter, he mentions several things. But really, at the end of that first chapter, he mentions two guys that went astray. And so Paul begins to teach Timothy, Timothy, these are the things you need to do. So look at verse 1 of chapter 2, and it says this, first of all, let me say this to you. First of all means this is very important. And so what Paul was saying in this verse, we have to give priority to prayer. You got to give priority to prayer. Look what he says. First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. First of all, guys, this is the most important thing we can do. You know, Donna Claire and I, most every morning during the week, we do our quiet time separately. She's out in the den. I'm back in our bedroom. I'm going through my stuff that I read, my prayer time. We do a real quick prayer together when we leave. Nothing fancy. I just pray real quick. That's not my only prayer time, guys, and it shouldn't be yours. What's Paul saying? First of all, this is urgent, guys. Let's do it. I read something this week that said, no prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. You want to know how to have peace and freedom in today's world? You better have the power of Jesus Christ in your life. And it's not an afterthought for us. It's a thought that we're enlisting God's power for our lives to produce peace in our hearts. When you look across this world, there are lots of people in the countries, especially where the Muslims are attacking them. Right now, Joey Young's been so instrumental in our church, helping some of our pastors in these other countries, because the Muslims won't let the Christians have food. And you as a church, we've been sending money to those countries so they can feed the Christians. But if you talk to those Christians, they have great freedom and they have great peace because they are praying people, praying that God would provide all they need. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What did Paul say to that church at Thessalonica? He said, pray without ceasing. How much do you pray during the day? I'm sure I look like an idiot. Well, I look like an idiot anyways, but I'm sure I look more like an idiot driving down the road, just talking nine to nothing. There's nobody in my car except the Holy Spirit. When I'm in my office, I will stop. And you get my age, I'm almost 66, you don't sleep well, okay? You older folks understand that. I will get up and wander around the house for 15, 20 minutes and then go back to bed. And I find myself beginning to pray and say, hey, Lord, and I'll start listing people. I pray all different times. It's not a one time, not one and done during the day, guys. You pray without ceasing. And it has to be a priority. It has to be something that's important in your life. But then look at the second part of this verse. Paul says that we must pray for all people. He says, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving, what? Be made on behalf of all men. Do you just pray for the people who like you? Do you just pray for the people who can benefit you, whatever? It says to pray for all people. And let me say this. The entreaties, that's the word for supplication, that you'll see that word, which means you're praying for a particular request. And look, he says, supplication and prayers. Sometimes our prayers need to be a little more organized. Maybe you need to keep a prayer list. Maybe you need to keep a journal so you can go through those. And then he says, petitions and thanksgiving. The word petition in there, you can also substitute the word intercessory. And I think about that, and I'm not a Greek scholar, so you can ask Pastor Bill if I'm right or wrong on this, but I think about the word intercept. And when a guy has really done a good job intercepting the football, what does he do? The defensive guy steps in front of the offensive guy and gets the ball. I think of that like that's what intercession is about. When I step in front of those that I love and I'm going to the throne of God on their behalf. So Paul says, petitions and thanksgiving. How often do you thank God for everything he does in your life? Good or bad? Do you think it was easy for Horatio Stafford to say, Lord, it is well with my soul, even though I lost my children? But what Horatio understood, and you and I should have understood, the Apostle Paul understood this, shipwrecked, beaten, jailed. He understood the idea that, hey, it is well with my soul because I am trusting in Jesus Christ. I've allowed Jesus Christ to come into my life. He has indeed made me free. And his truth, God's holy word, has made a difference in my life. And let me tell you this. We live in a day when there's a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, and a lot of bitterness. Let me ask you, is there somebody in your life that you really have a hard time with? Perhaps a boss, perhaps a spouse, could be some in-laws, outlaws, name anything. Let me tell you what I learned the hard way. When those people are in my life and I begin to pray for them, I can't still be angry or bitter with them. How can I ask for God to bless so-and-so and in the same breath that I can't stand his guts? Doesn't match up, does it? So when we pray for all people, what happens is we're allowing God to change our lives. We're allowing God to work in us to break down barriers, to break down anger. So let me ask you, when he said pray for all people, are there some people that you really struggle with to pray for because you don't like them? Pray for them and ask God to change your heart. Isn't it interesting, the prayer sometimes not about what God does for what we're asking for, but what he does in our heart. And today, as never before, we need to be praying on behalf of all men, our neighbors, our friends. But then Paul sticks his nose into it a little bit farther, and it gets a little more difficult in verse 2. He says, and to pray for kings and all who are in authority. Ooh, you got to be kidding me, Paul. But you got to remember, who was the ruler of the Roman Empire when Paul was there? It was a guy named Nero, a bloodthirsty man, hated Christians. He would take Christians and dip them in oil and then set them in his gardens on stakes and set them on fire to light his gardens up at night. He hated Christians. And Paul is telling young Timothy, we're going to pray for guys like Nero. Let's get a little closer home. We, every one of us in this room, ought to be praying for President Trump, Vice President Pence, and some of you Republicans go, yeah, Warren, get him. Okay. But we also should be praying for Governor Edwards, a Democrat, Speaker of the House, and some of the other folks up there. It's not about who's in charge and who's on our side. It's about God has asked us and told us, you pray for those in authority. See, the thing we need in our country more than a certain election is we need a revival. And it needs to start in Washington, D.C. Well, actually, it needs to start in this room with each one of us. But do you realize when we pray for political leaders, we're asking God to bless them in order that they might bless us, that we continue to have the freedom to share Jesus Christ wherever we are? I'm not sure this was Richard Haverson who said this. He was the Presbyterian minister who for years was chaplain of the U.S. Senate. And somebody asked him one day, said, Chaplain, do you pray for the senators, Republicans and Democrats? He said, well, let me be honest with you. When I look at the senators, I pray for our country. I think that's real true today. We ought to be praying for our country. Look at Proverbs 11:11. It says this, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, and by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. You want a blessing for our country? You want a blessing for us individually? We need to be praying. We need to be lifting our people, our leaders, before the Lord. And you know, I'm going to say this, and he said, and all who are in authority. I think that counts for anybody who's in authority over your life. You ought to be praying for them. And you ought to be asking God to bless them and to use them. Because that's what we ought to be doing, because it changes the climate of our culture. It changes the climate of our country. It changes the climate of our politics. So let me ask you, who are you praying for? Donald Guthrie said this, this Christian attitude towards the state is of utmost importance. Whether the civil authority is perverted or not, they must be made subjects of prayer. For Christian citizens may in this way influence the course of national affairs, a fact often forgotten except in times of special crisis. When a crisis hits our country like 9/11 or this pandemic, we pray a lot more. What Guthrie was saying is we ought to be praying every day for the leadership of our country. Not that it goes the way we want it to go, but that God would be honored. You know, if you go to John chapter 17, the night before Christ died, I didn't put the verse on the PowerPoint. You know what Jesus' whole prayer, it's called the high priestly prayer. It's a prayer to the Father, and basically what Jesus said is, Lord, Heavenly Father, may you be glorified in me. This coming from Christ, who the next day was going to hang on the cross, die for yours and my sins, a horrible death, but his whole prayer was not about himself, but that the Heavenly Father would be glorified. You know, I think that's the way we ought to be praying for our country, for our church, for our families, and for ourselves. That God would be glorified in whatever takes place. So let me ask you, how are you doing on that? You think about Paul and Silas. They're in the jail. It's midnight. You go to the book of Acts, you'll see this. What is Paul and Silas doing? They're singing and praying. They're in jail. It is well with their soul. They had great peace. They had great freedom. Why? Because they trusted in a sovereign God to know that whatever happens was in the perfect will of God. But then I want to give you the purpose for this kind of praying. Look at the last part of verse 2. So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. The purpose of us praying like this, praying for people and praying for leadership, is that we might lead the life that brings glory to the Father. Everybody's got an opinion, do they not? And everybody puts it, whether it's on the news, whether it's on Twitter, or whether it's on Facebook, everybody's got an opinion. You know, I think it might be more important that we lead tranquil and quiet lives. I was telling Cody before the service, we were sitting back there, and I was remembering back to my dad 50 years ago. My dad started a class. Donna Claire's mom and dad, who were not married at that time, they were part of the singles group. They'd each been widowed. They became the leadership of the class of my dad. And one day my dad said this to me, and I've never forgot it. I said, you got a lot of opinionated people in that class. Yep. He said, but here's what my ground rule. Nobody can express opinion in my class unless they can back it up with Scripture. How much would we be better off not expressing our opinion unless we can back it up with Scripture? See, I think that's where Paul was about leading a tranquil, which means a calm attitude, and quiet life. No matter the circumstance, we're good with this. Look at Philippians 4. Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, verse 7 and 8. See, this leads us to peaceable and godly lives. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. There's that word again, guys. We ought to be grateful for whatever comes our way. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the purpose for it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Look, the world will never understand why you and I can be calm in the midst of a storm. It's because of the truth of Jesus Christ in our lives. It makes the difference. We have something that sets us free to be able to live in the chaotic world and live godly lives. And I love this when he says, and dignity. That's honesty. Dignity and honesty. Look at the same chapter, Philippians 4, verse 11. Here was Paul's testimony. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. How peaceful, how content are you today? Are you content with where God's placed you? Some of you in this room have gone through great loss financially through this. Some of you in this room have lost loved ones because of illness, and not all related to COVID. Some of you have had tough times with your families. Let me ask you, are you content where God has placed you? Paul was. To Paul, it didn't matter if he was in a ship that was fixed to be wrecked, he was in prison, or he was out teaching the church, or writing letters to Timothy and to the others. Paul had learned to be content in whatever circumstance he was in. And let me tell you the good news about this. I didn't put it up there, but verse 3 says this. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. You want to please the Heavenly Father? Make prayer a priority. You pray for all people. You pray for our leaders. And you pray from a pure heart and say, God, I'm satisfied. I'm content. Wherever you place me, whatever you do, I will be satisfied. But God, I'm asking you to work that we might continue to be believers who share the gospel with a world who so desperately needs it. Do I love this country? Yeah. But let me tell you, my freedom doesn't come from Jesus Christ. I mean, excuse me. I just see if y'all are awake. My freedom doesn't come from the U.S. Constitution. My freedom comes from Jesus Christ. Now, am I glad to have the Constitution? Absolutely. But I'm glad to have Jesus Christ living in my life. Now, I'm glad that I can trust him that no matter what happens, I can have peace in my life and I can have freedom to live my life full of joy. So let me ask you today, how you doing? Are you pleasing God with the way you're living? Are you pleasing God with the fact that you're praying and calling upon him for every circumstance in your life? Maybe that's what you need to do to enjoy life as Christ meant for you to enjoy it. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads, close your eyes, and close out the service. But, you know, I want to give you a chance to respond. I don't know your heart. I don't know your hurts. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ and just say, Lord, here's what I need to do. Maybe it is to say, Lord, I'm not a prayer, and I need to be. But I'm going to give you just a few seconds, and I'm going to close this in a prayer if I could. Father, thank you that you love us like we are. Thank you that we can trust you for whatever circumstance comes in our lives. But Lord, may we learn to communicate to pray about any and all things. And Father, if we begin to pray for others, we take the attention off of ourselves. And may our attention be upon you as our Heavenly Father. And during these days, all across this room, you know the circumstances of everybody in here and what some have faced and had to go through. Would you be with them? But Father, my prayer is that we would be a people who pray for all around us, for our leadership, that you would continue to do work in the hearts of men and women. Thank you that we live in this land we call home, America. Father, thank you for freedom in Jesus Christ to live our lives knowing you're in control. Thanks for loving us, Father. For your name I do pray. Amen.
Our hope is that this message has encouraged you to seek Christ in your own life and make him known wherever you are. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.